And now to the role of music therapy in healthcare. It's increasingly being used to help treat brain conditions like PTSD and depression, Alzheimer's. Scientists are trying to puzzle out how music therapy actually affects the brain. The Cleveland Clinic says it has a positive effect on a wide variety of disorders like cardiac conditions, substance abuse, and autism. Have you tried music therapy? How did it go? Or have you seen a music therapist working at a hospital or nursing home? What did you observe? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dale Taylor is Professor Emeritus of Music and Theater Arts at UW-Eau Claire and founder of its music therapy program. Dale, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Good morning. A music therapist, not just a musician. Can you explain how music therapists are specially trained?
Yes, the music therapy program at any university involves basically four phases of training. There are, in addition to general education courses that every student at the university takes, the music therapist has to be a music major. In order to even get into the program, you have to audition on a musical instrument because it's essential that the music that a music therapist uses in therapy be musical. And it has to be music that is tailored to the needs of specific patients that we treat. So it's not just turning on a radio or a recording and playing music for someone and expecting them to get well. It rarely, if ever, works that way. The music therapist has to make music, has to adapt music, has to plan music and carry out the musical experiences. So that's why they have to be a musician. And then there are behavioral sciences that have to do with teaching a person about the physical, mental, emotional, and social behavior of human beings, what they are normally, what their disabilities and maladies are, and some of the ideas and ways that people have gone about, different authorities have gone about trying to treat those disorders. And then the third area is coursework, the major coursework in music therapy, which brings those two together. And then the fourth area is clinical training. And when I first started as a music therapy student, the clinical training didn't occur until the internship, the 6-month internship, after all of the rest of that had occurred. But since then, now we actually start students when they're freshmen in college, actually, and sometimes before that, we get high school students coming to observe music therapists. But in college, they're assigned as freshmen to observe, and then as sophomores, they begin to assist. And then as juniors, they're actually assigned a patient or two so that they can start practicing the techniques under the tutelage of their professors.
So many skills, many skills and talents coming together. Why should someone undergo music therapy? When you talk about patients, who's speaking about?
Okay, one of the popular misconceptions about music therapy is that it's something anyone can do, and anytime you're playing music for or with a person with a disability, you're doing music therapy. And that is, nothing is further from the truth. You may be using recreational music and music listening, but that is not music therapy. Music therapy is, the word therapy means treatment. And music therapy is used when there's a person who really needs treatment for a disorder or a maladjustment, something that the person is having to deal with that is abnormal. So when you mentioned earlier the word autism, an autistic person needs treatment to try to deal with the world in a better way. And when music therapy is used, what we're doing is we're using the music to activate that person's brain so that a number of things happen when we do that. For one, Music has been shown through many years of research and demonstrations and brain scans to activate the entire brain at once. And so when you're using music with an autistic person, you're bringing more of the brain to bear on each task that you're asking that person to do. You're also activating more pathways within the brain so that the various parts of the brain can communicate with each other much better than they can without the music. And that's one of the theories of autism, is that there's something wrong in the person's brain that interferes with the different parts of the brain to communicate with each other. And a third thing that you're doing with music when you're treating autism is that you're providing a common ground for the therapist and the autistic person to communicate with each other through.
I just want to jump in here because there's this assumption that the patient must have some particular music ability to benefit from music therapy or some proclivity. Is that true? Is there anything to that?
You are absolutely right that there is that assumption, but there is nothing to that. Most of the patients that I've seen were not musicians, were not trained musicians. Now, if and when, and I have had many patients who were accomplished musicians, the only difference then is that we use different music, because the music that we use with any particular patient works best if it's music from that person's background. And again, that is based on brain functioning, because the music that works best, we find, is the music that matches the stored neural impulse patterns that already exist in that person's brain. So if you can imagine working with a schizophrenic person who really is not that well in touch with reality, that person may or may not really know what kind of music they like best. But what we do is we use music to match that person's already lived experience of music. And that way we can access their brain functioning better to activate their brain.
Dale Taylor with us, founded the music therapy program at UW-Eau Claire. What questions do you have about a music therapy session? Do you have a background in music or play an instrument and want to know about credentialing in music therapy? Is your loved one struggling with a health condition and you think music therapy could help? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dale Taylor here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring music interventions in healthcare and the role of a music therapist on the healthcare team. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Professional music therapists are board certified, and according to the American Music Therapy Association, about 20% of music therapists receive third-party reimbursement for the services they provide, making it comparable to other allied health professions like occupational therapy, like physical therapy. What is your story about music therapy? Still time to talk about it, 800-642-1234. Dale Taylor founded the music therapy program at UW-Eau Claire, is with us for about 9 more minutes. Dale, I'm wondering if you could take us inside your personal story, how you got involved with music therapy.
Okay, well, I'm from Topeka, Kansas. It's interesting that you had that spot about the American Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee, because I grew up in Topeka, Kansas, and was there during the time of Brown versus Board. And I was kind of well known as a musician. And interestingly enough, my first job out of college when I graduated from the University of Kansas was in Milwaukee, at Milwaukee County Mental Health Center. Kansas, in Topeka, growing up, I used to like to sing with guys on the corner. And when I got into high school, the courses that I did best in was music, along with mathematics and psychology and things like that. And my dad worked at the Santa Fe Railroad in the Treasury Department. And so we got to travel a little bit. So when I got to college, I looked for a major that would combine my love of mathematics, travel, music, and science. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Good luck with that.
I'm not going to say it. Go ahead.
I know what you're thinking, because I would have thought the same thing. But as I looked around at various majors and what they involved, music therapy was and has proven to be the perfect combination of all of that. As I got into it and went through my bachelor's, master's, and doctorate at the University of Wisconsin, I was able to change the field somewhat from an adjunctive field in which music therapists kind of played music and then see what's going on. But if anyone asked them, what is the music doing? Why is music therapeutic? They really couldn't answer the question. So what I did once I became a professor in the field is to do research to find out why music is therapeutic. And what I landed on was a scientific explanation of how music affects the brain and changes the brain. Because when you think about it, literally every patient that we treat, from the schizophrenic to the person with severe brain damage, which I did experience, all the way to eating disorders, or even when music is used in surgery or obstetrics in a general hospital, what we're doing is trying to change what's going on in the brain, whether we're trying to change the brain's perception of reality or the brain's ability to receive and process pain stimuli. The music has very definite and scientifically proven ways of decreasing the ability of pain stimuli to come up to consciousness in the brain. Mm-hmm. It also changes, we can use music to change the way a person relates to reality when we're treating eating disorders, for example. And I've described techniques for all of those in my book.
Dale Taylor with us, Professor Emeritus at UW-Eau Claire, founder of the university's music therapy program. You can join in 800-642-1234. Daniel is here from Menasha. Daniel, hi.
Hi.
What is on your mind?
Yeah, so I've been listening along, and I just had a question for Professor Taylor about I'm thinking about like Hollywood and TV, how it shows like an Alzheimer's patient that maybe hears the song played at their wedding that they dance to or something, and all of a sudden it triggers something, and you know, the companion and the patient all of a sudden, you know, they share a memory of that time. And how does therapy, is that a misconception? Is it, does the person need to listen to music therapy 24/7 and in order to, or is it more like, you know, kind of mm-hmm. occupational therapy where you kind of go in for bursts of help and it helps open, you know, neural pathways and such?
I gotcha. Daniel, thank you for that question. Dale.
Yes, that's a very perceptive question. And the answer is yes and no to what he said. What is happening is that when a person listens to music, and let me preface this by saying that music therapists have been observing this phenomenon for decades and decades. A person who may have severe dementia, maybe Alzheimer's type or just regular dementia, and they may not even be able to say their own name or recognize their close relatives. But when the music is played, they can do all of that and carry on normal conversations and show memory. What is happening is, as I said, the music is we need to understand what dementia does. Dementia literally destroys parts of the brain. So the brain is basically, you could think of it as kind of wasting away in terms of its ability to function. So the various parts that don't function. And so but as I said before, the music activates all parts of the brain at once. And so the music is stored in many different parts of the brain at once. So when a person with dementia hears music that activates the stored neural patterns that are already there, it activates those parts and gets the brain parts communicating with each other better. And a person then can function pretty normally in terms of their ability to process information, communicate, remember, and even movement abilities, such as he alluded to. And that is something that happens during the music. It's not something that continues very long after the music, but the music's ability to stimulate the whole brain at once does help the person function more normally for a time.
Dale, in our last moments together, wondering as you look ahead to music therapy in the healthcare setting, I mentioned earlier about private insurance or how music therapy is in hospital or nursing home settings. What do you see in the future as part of the medical team?
What we're doing, that's a good question. What we're doing right now is there are more and more music therapists who are getting into the study of the neuroscientific study of music therapy. In other words, there is a growing and better funded, actually government funded, relationship between neuroscience and music. And that relationship will allow us to become more objective about our ability to participate in diagnostic procedures, to monitor changes as we go through treatment, and to branch out to new areas of treatment. So the neuroscientific basis, I think, is the future.
Dale, thank you for joining us.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for having me.
Dale Taylor, Professor Emeritus of Music and Theater Arts at UW-Eau Claire. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.